to do so till he completes the reading. Some ulama have stated that sometimes a man reads the Quran Sharif and invokes curses on himself without even knowing it. For instance, he reads in the Quran Sharif, Ala la'atullahi ala zalimeen. Beware, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the wrongdoers. And he exposes himself to this warning because of his wrongdoings. In the like manner, he reads in the Quran, La'natullahi ala al-kathibin. The curse of Allah is upon the liars. In fact, he exposes himself to the warning by reason of his being himself a liar. Amir ibn Waqila radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had appointed Nafi' ibn Abd al-Harith as the governor of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Once he asked the latter as to whom he had appointed as the administrator of the forests, Ibn Abzi replied, Nafi', who is Ibn Abzi? Said Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is one of our slaves, was the reply. Why have you appointed a slave the Amir? Objected Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he recites the book of Allah. Said Nafi', at this Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated the hadith that it has been said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that because of this book Allah reveals many and degrades many. May Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. Social etiquettes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is mustahab to apply mehndi to one's white hair, but one should abstain from using black dye. It is completely prohibited for men to imitate women in clothing, appearance and form. Likewise, it is completely prohibited for women to imitate men. Tattooing as well as joining someone else's hair to one's own for the purpose of lengthening are prohibited. The person doing so is accursed in the Hadith Sharif. It is prohibited for men to wear clothing dyed in saffron or safflower color. It is prohibited to trim one's beard as long as it is not more than a fist length. If the beard is longer than this, then it will be permissible to trim the beard to the extent of one fist length. If one has hair, then he should wash it, comb it, and apply oil to it. If one has hair, then he should wash it, comb it, and apply oil to it. This should be done with the beard as well. However, to become immersed in it is foolishness. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We are, as far as niyat is concerned, we make niyat of our islah, and also one very important niyat which we should make. On one occasion, Hadraji Maulana Shah Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he said that when a person wakes up in the morning, if he doesn't make these intentions, then he won't get the sawab for it. And if he doesn't make these intentions of staying away from these gunas, he won't get the guna, neither will he get the sawab. If, for example, in the morning when we may wake up, we make niyat that for today, and also make niyat for the rest of my life, I won't make kufr, I won't make shirk, nifaq, hypocrisy, I won't get involved in bid'at, innovations, I won't commit zina, I won't do bad nazri, look at other women, I won't look down upon anyone, I won't drink liquor, I won't gamble, all, I won't backbite, all. Or if you want to say it in short, all haram things. And particularly what a person finds himself involved in, make niyat, I won't do this for today, and for the rest of my life. If we make that niyat to stay away from haram, the sawab is, if not more than, it is equal to fulfilling the faraz of Allah Ta'ala. But if we don't make that niyat, and we don't make the guna also, so we won't get guna, we didn't commit the guna, but to stay away from the guna, we won't get the sawab also. But if we make niyat we're going to stay away from that guna, we'll get the sawab of staying away from that guna. And that sawab is very, very great. If it is not more, it's not, if it's, it is equal to fulfilling a faras. If it to stay away from haram is more important. So if the sawab is not more, then it is at least equal to fulfilling a faras. But we don't do that haram, so we don't get the guna. But we didn't make the niyat, I'm going to stay away from it. So we won't get that sawab also. And make niyat that I'm going to do all the things Allah has made faras for me. I will stay on Iman, on Islam, and I'll make effort to make it more stronger, that I will do all my actions with sincerity, not for name and fame. I will do all my, I will have humbleness in me, tawadu. I will perform my 5 times namaz, with jamaat, takbir-e-ula, first saf, with consciousness and with concentration and devotion. I will keep all my rozas, I will give my zakat, I will make hajj, I will make umrah, I will make tilawat, I'll make zikr, I'll read my tasbihat, I'll make muraqabah, muhasabah, all the, I'll give sadqah, I'll do amar bil ma'roof, nahi anil munkar, all, as many good as we can think, as many niyats as we make, then even if we're not going to do this, like amar bil ma'roof, wa nahi anil, but we made the niyat, we get the sawab. And already from that time, we get the sawab of making our 5 times namaz with jamaat takbir-e-ula. And the sawab of a perfect namaz. Because nobody will make niyat, I'm going to make a deficient namaz. But when we make the ibadat, we know we are weak. The deficiency come in. Therefore, it has come in the hadith, niyatul mu'min khayru min amalihi. The niyat of a mu'min is better than his amal. So we at that time already, and for the rest of our lives, we will get that sawab of doing all that ibadat. So in niyat, this is also a very important aspect of niyat. And really, where buzurgs excel us in one aspect where they excel us is by niyat. As far as time is concerned, their day has also got 24 hours. We also got 24 hours. As far as energy is concerned, they are humans. How much energy they have? We are humans, we got so much energy, somebody has got more, somebody has, but more or less it is in that one range and one category. So as far as all these things are concerned, we are the same. So how that ibadah they can make, we also perhaps can, but by niyat a person goes very, very far. A person who, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that person in Bani Israel, when there were droughts and there was poverty, people were not having food to eat. He made the sincere intention that, oh Allah, all these mountains around here, if they were wheat, flour wheat, by which we make bread, roti, if it were wheat, I should have distributed it amongst all the poor people. Allah informed the Nabi of the time to go and tell him, he has already got so much sawab. But with niyat, we must be sidqi niyat, we must be true in our niyat also. Like that we can make lot of niyats. Like for example, a rich man is giving 50,000 rand charity, is giving 1 million rand charity. We can't, we don't, we, our whole life we won't even earn so much. Where are we going to give so much? But if we are true, we can give 5 cents, we can give 50 cents, we can give 5 rands. Are we doing that or not? That if I also as a rich man like this, I should also give 50,000. I should also give 5 million rand in charity. I'm a poor man. I'm hardly earning 1,000 rand. I'm out of job. I can't give anything. But you can give a 5 rand. Are you giving your 5 rand? This shows that you are true. We hear about buzurgs who used to make whole night ibadat. If I was also free like that, I have to earn, work the whole day. If I was free, I should also make the whole night ibadat. But you can make 2 rakats. You can't make the whole night ibadat, but you can make 2 rakats of namaz. We hear of how many hafiz who complete khatam every day. If I was hafiz, I should also make khatam every day. But you can read 1 supara. So how much we can do, are we doing that much or not? That will show whether, otherwise niyat, any person can make any niyat. But how true are you in your niyat? So if we are true, then how much we can do, we will do. So this is very important, by which a person can reach where and where. Maulana Qamar al-Zama sahab, Adamat Barakatuh, on one occasion said, when a person is young, then he can do a lot of amal. He's got strength, his health is good, he can do a lot of things. But when he becomes old, then he can't do. Now his old age has come, now he's a sickly person, he can't do. So he said, when you get old, start your amal with niyat now. Make niyats. According to your niyat, Allah will give you a reward. So niyat is very important, and there are various aspects. This was one important aspect also, that every morning we make all these niyats, and we will get so lot sawab, and make it for the day and for the whole future. And together with that, ask Allah to help us to practice upon this, because on our own we can't. And together with that, read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah also. Because the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata is that la hawla an ma'asiyatillah illa bi ismatillah. That a person cannot stay away, turn away from guna, but by Allah's protection. If Allah protects you, don't depend on yourself. You try. We are responsible to try our best. But on our own, we won't be able to save ourselves from guna. And la quwwata ala ta'atillah. A person hasn't got the strength to fulfill Allah's commandments illa bi'awnillah, but by the help of Allah Ta'ala. And our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair had explained that the answer in adhan of Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala al-falah twice, it should have been logically, according to our sense, Labbaik Ya Allah. I'm ready, I'm coming, my Allah. You call me for namaz, I'm on my way, I'm coming. But the answer is La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. To show us that for this very important command also, and relatively straightforward, we cannot make it on our own, but by Allah's help. Otherwise, while coming, you slip on a banana peel. Instead of coming for namaz, you'll be 6 months in hospital. Sometimes, Fajr time, you made your tahajjud also. You're ready for, you dressed up also, about to leave the door of your house, and your stomach, some gur-gur happens, some trouble. Stomach is working now. So you say, I don't think I'm here, I must go toilet first. And you still got enough time, I'll make my wudu, and I'll still reach for jamaat. But now, toilet is that jail for which there is no bail. Like any jail, you can pay bail, they keep you out of jail, you can stay. But toilet is that jail, Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, for which there is no bail, you can't pay bail. And you can't have a locum also for if you want to go to toilet. Ask your wife that I have to make it for Fajr, won't you go for me? You can't, no matter who you are, but you'll have to go to toilet. So now, and sometimes your stomach is working such a way, or the urine drops are just not finishing, and whole jamaat is over, and you perhaps sometimes whole namaz time also goes, and you're still sitting in the toilet. Though you're regular with your namaz, so on your own you can't do anything. Seek Allah's help. Remember, every aspect we need Allah's help. So la hawla wa la quwwata, we read this. And when a person reads this on farsh, on the earth, then Allah says on the arsh, Allah is everywhere, but because of Allah's great high position, we refer to Allah on His arsh. And Allah is on His arsh as Allah is and as He knows. But Allah is huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. Allah is with you wherever you are. So Allah says that aslama abdi wastaslama. And the meaning of that aslama, that when a person says la hawla, then Allah says aslama wa la quwwata wastaslama abdi. Aslama ay abdi inqada wa taraka al-inada. That my banda has now become righteous and pious, and he has given up disobedience. When Allah says that, and we continuously read this, how won't this come into a person? Our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair says that when Allah says, my banda has become righteous and pious, when he read this, but he's still engaged in guna. So the malaika, with a questioning look up to Allah. Allah, you said he has given up guna, but he's still involved in guna. So Allah's gharat, Allah Ta'ala's self-respect and honor does not allow that I said he's committing guna, not committing guna, and he's still committing. Allah puts his protection on that person. Now even when he wants to commit guna, he cannot. Allah's protection is on that person. So, for example, you had a date to go and meet somebody, you left, now you got a puncture. Now, when you read this, Allah's protection came on you. Or, there is a traffic jam. Another accident took place in front. And now the roads are closed. They're diverting traffic. All your plans are thwarted. Anything. Eh? Or, for example, you made all your plans. One Maulana gave a bayan, you heard, you are a very bad guna. I can't do this guna. And it happens. MashaAllah, how many people get saved like this? And they say that we made all our hotel bookings and everything, but all our plans, we changed it. So it's actually Allah's protection. And that Maulana who made the bayan was also in Allah's nizam. Allah brought him to that place, made that, let him make that bayan, let that person listen and let him take that effect. And mashallah, that person changed his life from there. So all this, so this la hawla has got great power in it. So Allah says that aslama abdi wastaslama. And wastaslama ay abdi fawwada sa'ira umuri al-kainat ila Allah azza wa jal bi asriha. My banda has handed all his matters over to Allah. From the roots he has handed over them over to me. And Allah is that, like you have, you want to do some transference, a property, and a good conveyancer or lawyer is a good efficient worker. Once you give him all your work, you don't have to ask him, how far are we, when is it getting done? He informs you all the time, that we are at this stage, we just are waiting for this receipt, we are waiting for that signature, we should be complete in 2 weeks time, 2 months, you don't have to worry. Allah, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal wakil. Which lawyer is better than Allah Ta'ala? And when you have handed your matters to Allah, you don't have to worry. So Allah, so we have to seek Allah's help. Only by Allah's help will we be able to do right and stay away from wrong. So when we make all this niyat, read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah as well, that ya Allah, we can't do or anything of this, but without your help. Without your help, we can't do anything. So niyat is very, very important, and a person can go a very, very long way with his niyat. And if we made our sincere niyat that we have come here to make i'tikaf, to make our islah, Allah will help us. But if our niyat was to come here and steal here, that there will be other people, there aren't proper rooms here, so it's a good chance to steal cell phones from people, to steal them or steal their money, etc. Then what your niyat is, you will get. لِكُلِّمْ رِئِمَّا نَوَى. A person according to his niyat he gets. Like we gave the example of that person who was eating chocolates under the blankets. He's a sugar patient. How can he get shifa? He's taking all the best medicine. The expertise of the doctors of the world, they directing it towards him. But no, our Sheikh Ahmed Barakatum, beautiful poem, is that guna fis karti hai dur manzil se. Your guna, they will take you away from your destination. You have pressed in your GSP, what? GPS. GPS. I want to go to this town here. But you're going intentionally other directions. You're going other ways. How will you reach your direction? It's telling you turn here. It's telling you recalculating. It's telling you make a U-turn. It's telling you all that, but you're not. You're just carrying on in your one way. How will you reach your destination? Fis karti hai dur manzil se, karche tere peer la tani ho. Even if you're sheikh, there isn't a second to him in the world. There is no other sheikh like that in the world. He is the highest in the world. But you're staying in his sohbat, you're staying close to him. You are you become his favorite also. But secretly you're committing gunas also. You won't reach your destination. So if our niyat, that is important. And when a person, remember also, that your glass, Allah is Halim. And the meaning of Halim, Alladhi la yasta'jilu bil uquba, who does not hurry, is not in a hurry to punish. Allah gives lot of respite. But when the glass gets full, till the glass is not full, the water, etc., whatever is in, doesn't overflow. But when it's full, it overflows. So when the glass is full, Allah takes a person to task then. And when Allah now leashes out, releases his punishment, then it cannot be pulled back. Then it has to come, and that person then gets disgraced, gets humiliated, and sometimes people beat him up also so terribly. And a lot of these cases that happen. So Allah gives enough chance, but when you go over the limit, Allah Ta'ala then takes you to task. And then He does not leave you. And then you suffer the consequences very, very terribly. So we must always be careful that we don't take disadvantage. Take advantage of a situation. Don't abuse a good situation. Don't abuse it. Don't just take the disadvantage. So anyway, according to our niyyah, all matters are done. And at the same time also, every one of us should be careful with our own personal things. Look after our own things. We should be responsible. We should keep it, our valuables with us. The best will be that we don't keep cell phones. Yeah, our cell phone is from our heart to Allah Ta'ala. Make contact with Allah Ta'ala. But if we do, then we look after our own personal things. This is also very, very important. So anyway, niyat is very, very great, and a person can reach very far with his niyat. And then we were discussing about nazri, the guna of the eyes. With regard to that further, Mishkat Sharif's riwayat, which is most authentic also, that la'ana Allahu an-nadhir wal-manzur ilayh. Allah's la'anat, Allah's curses are on the person who looks at haram and the person who presents himself to be looked at in a haram way. On both of them, Allah's curses descend. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, when a person is involved in guna, then he doesn't have to make dua, save me from Jahannam, O Allah. He has become Jahannam himself. When a person is involved in guna, he has become Jahannam himself. When a person does good deeds, now he is connected with Jannat and he has become Jannat himself. He will enjoy the fruits of it, and what the ni'mats of Jannat are, there will be in a physical state in Jannat, all the enjoyments of Jannat. Yeah, in a spiritual, in a psychological, in your mind, you will get that enjoyment. The sum total, like you eat fruit, you are eating the fruit, and you get the juice of it. And from the juice, they make a tablet, one small tablet, whole glass of the juice in one small tablet. So this you will get in this world already. That what your ni'mats you're going to get in Jannat, there you're going to enjoy them physically. But when you're involved in the amal of Jannat, you get that enjoyment here already now. Allah gives it to you. Not the physical enjoyment, but that emotional, in your heart, Allah gives you that enjoyment. And when you are involved in guna, not the physical azab of Jahannam, but that psychological. And one of it is, the person who is involved in guna, he is in a state of la yamutu fiha wa la yahya, which is one of the conditions of Jahannam, that you're not dead there, you're not alive there. Like a person who's in a coma, that person is not alive, he is not dead. No doctor will give you a death certificate that you can go and bury him. But he's not really in the sense alive also. He can't even eat for himself. He can't lift his hand also. He's lying in a coma. For 1 month, 2 months he's in a coma. He hasn't got life also. But he's not dead also. Like that, Jahannam will be that you will be in a state that there is no life in you. You got life, but you can't enjoy anything. How many people in this world so wealthy? I was previously in Germiston, a very wealthy man of the town invited almost all the townspeople. And he had made a big da'wat. All were eating, and what food he had prepared for everyone. But he himself, those two big oxygen tanks were with him. He was just taking oxygen. He couldn't even have a drop of water. So you got everything, but you can't enjoy it. In those days, he had about 2 or 3 Mercedes at home. And his own children were not prepared even on a weekend just to give him a spin around the town. That I just to go a little, just take a little drive. His children were not prepared to do that for him also. So this is, you got everything, but you can enjoy nothing. So that condition is the person who disobeys Allah. He has got his body, he perhaps has got money, he's got everything, but he can't enjoy anything. So this is that condition. One beautiful incident is written of one person who wanted to meet Khidr alayhi salam. We usually pronounce it Khidr alayhi salam, and it's famous that his du'as are readily accepted, mustajabud da'wat. And a wrong belief the public has got that he hasn't got this bone of the tongue. And therefore many people, now that custom alhamdulillah is going out, that when they make salam, then they should hold the tongue and press it also. After the two hands meet, then they press. The origin of this was that there was a belief that Khidr alayhi salam hasn't got this tongue. So isn't this perhaps Khidr alayhi salam I'm meeting? If it is him, I can ask him for du'as. So one person wanted to have a life that not a single moment in his life he must be sad. There must be some sorrow. He must be not for one moment sad also. Just happy all the time. So he met Khidr alayhi salam. He told him, I want you to make this dua for me that not for one moment I must be sad. He told him, that's impossible in this world. That is in Jannah. I can however make a dua for you that who you think is so happy. That person got no sadness in his... I can make dua, you become like that person. But this, that not a moment of sadness, that will be in Jannah. Yeah, in this dunya, and in fact, in Jannah also, it comes in the hadith, in Jannah, there will be those moments of sorrow also. What will they be? When a person will think of his dunya's life, in which he did not make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And what I have lost out, that what a person, you cannot imagine by the simple words of Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All the what actual physical huge treasures you will get. Not only buildings and mansions, but what Allah will give you on one word of this. You cannot imagine. Just by saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In Tafsir al-Burhan, however, in Tafsir al-Burhan, there are both kinds of narrations. Weak also, strong also, both types. But this one narration is in there, that a person who reads Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, immediately Allah does 5,000 mentions for him. And each mention has got 1,000 chambers, huge rooms, each one, 1,000. And each chamber has got 70 beautiful thrones. And with each throne, there are 70 carpets. And not of dunya's things. These are things of Jannah. And on each carpet, there is a Hurul Een sitting for him. So the Sahaba were also surprised just by reading Bismillah. So much of reward. They asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, any conditions attached? T's and C's apply everywhere. So here also any T's and C's for this year, for so much of reward, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, there are terms and conditions. To say it with conviction and with concentration. Conviction and concentration. Just for saying Bismillah. So we cannot imagine, we are wasting our time earning this dunya. How much is necessary, you do that, but more engage in akhirat. Make tilawat of Quran, make dhikr, do our morning, evening du'as, all these things. We cannot imagine what Allah will give us there. So those moments that the person, when he see all this, and I had so much of time, while I was driving, I was doing nothing. While I was sitting in my shop, no customers, I was doing nothing. Keep your tasbih with you. Read tasbih all the time. Or whatever. Just your thoughts, your good thoughts, what rewards, while going to sleep. When you get up in the morning, middle of the night, your eyes awoke, and you just read, Durood Sharif, one time you read. Anything you read, what you'll get there. So those moments that are wasted on that, sorrow will come on that person. But it's Jannah, that sorrow won't remain. Just like to understand that, it's not difficult. In this world here, every one of us must have gone, definitely we have gone through this occasion, where we missed a narrow escape from an accident. Or we did something wrong and we could have got disgraced and all that. but Allah saved us. We didn't come, nobody came to know of it. Many things like that in our lives. So, but the thought comes and it goes away again. Like that, the thought will come in Jannat and it will go away, but it will come. Then, from this you can think, the time that we wasted in committing guna, this is the time that we could do some good. And guna and what, how it, how many of our good deeds will be because we committed guna? Especially hukukul ibad. They will claim all their shares. How many of our namazes will go to somebody else? How many of our rozas will go? Some people will become bankrupt. All the good deeds have gone because we stole their money. We didn't pay them. We swore them. We fought with them. We made bad gumani, so had evil thoughts about them. All that. And they will take away our sawabs. So what we had earned actually, that also is taken away. So therefore, on what were we saying? Gee, that person who didn't run any sorrow in his life. So he went out, Khizr alayhi salam told him, I give you so many days, you go and look, and certain time, certain place, we will meet again. Then you tell me who is that person that you would be like, and I'll make dua for you. So he went, and he saw one person in his shop, very busy, very, say, this man is making me. He's making money, he's a happy man. So he asked him, are you happy? So yeah, I'm very happy, see what a business. But my son is getting married, I have to buy a house for him. And I haven't got so much money that I can buy a house, so I've got this worry on me. So he saw, oh, this man is not happy. He saw another man sitting in an office, everything, aircon, furnished office, telephone, whatever you can see, everything is there. This man looks very happy. He asked him, he said, I'm very happy, but what I'm earning my salary, every month I'm just short with so much that I have to pay. If I have so much more, I can come out just right. I'm just short every month. So he's also not happy. Like that he carried on, looked at many people. Finally he saw a person living in a beautiful mansion. Rivers flowing in his, like Jannat he made it. Rivers, streams flowing of water, and how many, all his servants there, and his children, and the gardens, and the building. Very, very. He said, this person I don't even have to ask. I can see. But he said, thought that all the others also, I thought, just let me ask this person also. So he asked him, so he told him, go, leave me alone, go and do your work. He said, no, I want to know. Why you want to know? He said, I want to tell Khizr alayhi salam to make me like you. He said, in that case, let me tell you, never make that mistake. I am the worst person in the world. I am worst off. Nobody is worse than me in the whole. But all this enjoyment, he said, let me tell you, because you want to become like me, and I don't advise you that at all. I'll tell you what my story is. He says that we were young, me and my wife, and then my wife became very, very ill. Terminally ill, like she was. Death, every moment, like she was going to die. And we had made promise to one another that if any one of us die, the other partner won't get married. So we made this promise, but my wife told me, no, I know, you are still a young man, you will get married again. So, and she emotional, she's on her deathbed, like, in that so sick condition. He said, I promise you, how much I promised. She said, the only way I can be happy, if you castrate yourself. Then I know you won't get married. Now, in that emotional condition, he did that also. But then Allah shan, she started getting better. And more better than before. And her desires grew more than before also. And I was completely useless. I could do nothing. And all these children, I know they're not my children. They are the Siddhartha's children here. They are all their children. So he says, this outside picture, don't be fooled by that. The reality is something else. There are so many lessons to learn. Our mashayikh, our elders say, never ever be fooled by the beautiful naqsha and the things of this dunya, what somebody has got. There is a whole big story behind it. It looks like it, this person is enjoying so much. Never be deceived and never have that desire. Raal mat tabkao. Never have this desire that I must also have all these things. Like here, there is a whole different story behind that. Just to explain that also, one person standing at a railway station and the train is going. In the first class coach, he saw one person, first class coach, and air conditioned, fan, air condition, everything in front of him, food, whatever you can think, whatever. This man is really enjoying, he's got a wonderful. The train passes, third class coach comes, and there's a person who is standing there. The whole coach is full with people, and people who didn't park for the last 6 months also. They all smell also there, and in the third class coach, if the fan is on, it doesn't go off. Whether it's winter or summer, if it's off, it doesn't go on. Our train here, the Shosholoza, sends donkey years. When it's hot, the heaters work. And when it gets cold, till today, it doesn't work. So anyway, if the window is open, it doesn't close. If it's closed, it doesn't open. And he's standing with quite a few parcels around by his leg. And one way he's standing, and so full it is, that there is no place that you can even just move a little bit. In that, you see this train, this person is suffering. But when you find out reality, that person in the first class coach has got his death sentence. And he is going now to the gallows. They are going to take his life now. And they are fulfilling his last wish. So whatever food he wanted, he ordered, they gave it to him. But the outside condition, how enjoyable. But inside, every station, every minute that is coming, his sorrow is just increasing all the time. And that person in a third class coach, for 1 month he was working in the city. He earned money. He bought presents for his children. He's going back to the village. He's going to meet his wife. He's going to meet his children. The outward condition, he's in big suffering. But his inward condition, what enjoyment. Every minute that is passing, every station that comes, he's getting more happier and happier. Just now I'll be with my wife, I'll be with my children, and they'll be all around me. I'll take out my presents and things what I bought for them. How happy. So never be fooled with outward conditions. What is the condition of the heart? That is something else. You see anyone, what kind of car he's driving, what kind of mansion he's living in, don't be fooled with that. You could be a person living in a tin shanty, but if you've got the happiness of your heart, how many phone calls and emails come? The wife writes that I'm not short of anything in dunya. What haven't I got? Everything I've got. But my husband is involved with another woman. She says, I can go and live in a tin shanty. I want out of this marriage. I've got no life whatsoever. All the dunya's things. She's got her own Mercedes. She's got her own everything or whatever you can think of. But she's got no life. And another couple who are living in a tent shanty, but they are happy with one another. Their inside happiness, and what do outside things compare with inside happiness? If you think this outside things are of value, then for example in your big house you got, but there is a mouse also in that house. And the mouse also boasts that I'm living in this big house. And I don't even have to pay water and lights. I don't have to pay, and I don't have to go and buy groceries also. At night I just come out and I go and choose whatever I want, and I have all that. Is that any respect? In your Mercedes Benz you are going, and there is a mosquito in there also. And the mosquito and the fly is boasting that I'm traveling by Mercedes, I'm traveling by BM. So these things, your value is not by things. Today we have attached our value with material things. Your value is what your inside quality is what you got. But that is your value, not with outside things. But today we associate our value with these outside things. That even a mosquito got those things. Even a fly, even a mouse got that. Now even a snake, if it comes in your house, it is no great thing for that snake that I'm living in this mansion or in this beautiful garden. No, it is your inside qualities that give you value. So these are the things that a person must strive for. So anyway, where were we? So this is Jahannam, mashallah, jazakumullah, Maulana Musa. That is a good sami. If in Taraweeh, the Imam Sahib reads 29th night, he has come to Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, and he gets stuck. And you give him Luqma Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitab Al-Araib. He must start right from there again, and he must come to Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. But where you stuck, and when the Sami gives you your Luqma, just there, you on your way again. So mashallah, that's a good Sami who's not sleeping. Otherwise, if the Sami also is sleeping, and the Qari also got some sleep, and he got a blank, and he just got lost. He doesn't know where to go now. And the Swami just puts him on his way. So, la yamutu fiha. That is the condition of... So, when a person is involved in guna, when you're looking at haram, that other woman, or a woman looking at another man, or any haram that you look at, Allah's la'anat is on that person. In this connection, Hazrat Maulana Asadullah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali of Saharanpur, his two poems, and let's see, inshallah, if I remember them, they are so valuable. One of his poems is that, Nadeko in Surkh Ruhoku Zinnahar. Don't ever, at any time, never ever look at this red woman with red cheeks and red lips, their lipstick, the blush they have put. In other words, the filthy, dirty dollies of the street. Never ever look at them. Na dekho in surkh rukho ko zinnaar, parho rabbana qina azabannaar. When you see them, then read rabbana qina azabannaar. What does that mean? And what a poem, as far as Islah is concerned, Deen is concerned, and Urdu literature is concerned. He compared the red cheeks and the red lips with the red flames of the fire of Jahannam. To understand this, like the Quran Sharif says, that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا. Those who devour the wealth of the yatim, they don't give the yatim the orphan their share in inheritance and they eat it up. إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. All haram, actually you are eating the fire of Jahannam. You are seeing, I'm eating samosas, I'm eating biryani, I'm eating chicken, roast. But actually, you are eating, if it's haram, you are eating the fire of Jahannam. It's not roast you are eating. It's not the samosas you are eating, the fire of... So when you see that woman, then don't release and enjoy them. Say, Ya Allah, save me from the fire of Jahannam. It looks like this red, it appears to us like this, but it is actually the fire of Jahannam. In another poem, Hazrat said so beautifully that Ishq-e Buta mein ye asad karte ho tum fikre rahat. In Ishq-e Buta, the love of idols. Idols are not only the idols in the temple, the Hindu people, or anyone else who worship idols. Idols are sitting in our heart also. What idols we have got. If we have made our shop our idol, if we have made our house our idol, and we cherish these things more than Allah Ta'ala, then these are idols which are sitting in the heart. This filthy, dirty woman, they are also idols. Just like that idol that can be made of gold, and an idol can be 20,000 years old, and what pearls and diamonds and rubies they have studded that idol with, but we know it is kufr, it is shirk, it is dirt. It is filth, all that gold and silver and diamond which is on that idol, but it is filth and dirt. Just like that woman who advertises herself, no matter how she tempts you and that, but she, if you have iman, you will see that it is filth and dirt. You won't even have a desire to look. How much your iman is stronger, so much you will see clearly that this is no enjoyment, this is all filth and dirt. So ishq-e buta mein ye asad karte ho tum fikre rahat. In these idols, oh Asad addressing himself, are you thinking you're going to get enjoyment looking at this filth and dirt? Ishq-e buta mein ye asad karte ho tum fikre rahat, dozakh mein dhoondhte ho tum jannat ki khwabgah. Are you looking for the enjoyments of jannat in jahannam? How can you, where is your logic gone? Where are your senses gone? How can you find in Jahannam the enjoyment of Jannat? Hey, a person who had only one gold coin, he had nothing else. He lost it, a poor person. He was looking for it. So he went out on the street, under the street lamp post, the light, looking for it. A friend came by, saw my friend here. He's desperate. He's looking, asking, what's happened? He said, I only own this one gold coin. I had nothing in my life. And I lost that also. He felt sorry for him. He started helping him look for it. Looking, they can't find it. And which is common then, where you lost it. So he said, I lost it in my tent shanty. So he said, if you lost it there, why are you looking for it here? He said, here is a big light here. But in my tent shanty, there are no lights. Eh? You can look for it till the cows go home. Where it isn't, how can you find it there? We'll look for it in a tent shanty with a candle. Or you haven't got money for a candle also, just move your hands around. Where you lost it, hopefully you will find it there. So in the same way, we lost our peace of mind and happiness and contentment and respect and honor by leaving Islam and the teachings of Islam. And where are we looking for it? In the nightclubs. We are looking for it in discos. We are looking for it in hard music, which destroys you completely. In this filth and dirt we are looking. In the filthy, dirty woman, we are looking for enjoyment there. Where is it? It's not there. Dozakh mein tum dhoondte ho jannat ki khwabgah hai. So these things here, it is the height of stupidity and folly. So Allah's lanat comes. Our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum says, lanat means the absence of Allah's rahmat, with the curses of Allah. That woman, actually the flames of Jahannam have engulfed her. And that is what is looking nice to you. Like that haram that comes in the form of a chicken, that comes in the form of samosa, you are enjoying that, but it is haram. Whether the money is haram, you stole it, you didn't give the orphans their share, or whether it is today, how lot of our food we are consuming, haram food we are consuming. And you are enjoying that, releasing it and enjoying, but it is haram. Haram will take you to haram. In this world it will make haram characteristics. Your akhlaq will get destroyed. Your habits will become bad. You won't have feeling for the poor. You'll become miserly. You'll become stingy. You'll become hard by nature. You won't have a good relationship with your wife. Haram breeds haram. Haram cannot breed halal. It's impossible for halal, for haram to breed halal. Your whole condition you will destroy. So we are eating all this here and you are thinking you are enjoying. The flames of Jahannam have engulfed her. And a person who gets, and the flame, la'anallahu nadir wal manzur, both of them. The person who is looking also, and the flames of Jahannam have engulfed him also, and you're getting enjoyment. That is not a madman, that is not a stupid man. There is only one word that comes, that's a man without iman. That the flames of Jahannam have engulfed him, and he's enjoying, releasing. That, look at her, look at her figure, look at her complexion, look at this. If you got iman, it comes clearly in the hadith, a mu'min makes a guna, and like a mountain has fallen on him. He can't tolerate it, he can't stick it. And he becomes, الَّذِينَ وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. Ya Allah, what have I done here? How could I have looked? Immediately you become conscious. A mu'min, it doesn't take him long. Immediately, possibly, his eyes fell, and some his nafs took some enjoyment. But zakarullah. And then, Ya Allah, what have I done here? How could I have looked here? How could I have taken this enjoyment? A mu'min cannot say, why the munafiq? It is like the fly was sitting. And he made the fly away. He doesn't have effect on him at all. So this is the condition. So la'anallahu an-nadhir wal-manzur ilayh. And the one who is looked at, that person also, Allah Ta'ala's curses are upon that person. So when Allah's curses are upon a person, how can a person get enjoyed? So this what we have to do is to keep roza of the eyes also. That we won't look at any of this haram. Yeah, there is no haram here, those who are here. Those who are coming, we are going to shop, etc. We are still being tested. But those who are full time here in the masjid, there is no woman around here, there is no haram that you can. But this is your eye operation that is taking place. And you, after the operation, your eyes are being blind, you are being blindfolded. Afterwards, when we go out on each day, each night, then our test will take place. Whether our operation was successful or not. If we had a successful operation, inshallah, we won't look at the haram after that. And as we explained yesterday, when you close your eyes to haram, Allah opens your eyes not only to halal, one halal, which is guaranteed. A person who doesn't look at other women, his wife, Allah will make her look in his eyes as the most beautiful woman in the world. Allah guaranteed Allah will give you. And if you see your wife, the most beautiful woman, I have been blessed with the most beautiful, Allah will make it. What enjoyment won't you get? No matter how she is, but Allah will. But when you look at other women, the example of this, our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum gives such a beautiful example. Every person, we all get, we have hunger also, and we have taste for food also. So a poor person, his wife, they are poor people, so what she makes is some sandwiches for him, jam and bread. Brown bread with jam on it, that's all what his sandwiches. He goes to work. Now it's lunchtime. Now all the other workers, you go in the room, the or staff room. Now somebody opened his lunch tin and smell of biryani coming out from there. Another one opened his lunch tin and he had roast there. Another one opened his lunch tin and kebabs in there. All delicious, delicious things. And as we talk now, they're not nice to talk. Water comes in the mouth now for all these things. So anyway, now they open all that. Now he's even shy to open his lunch tin. So he makes a little spaza. He goes to one friend, what's the time? Actually, he wants to say, join me in my lunch here. And he's just waiting for that. And he joins him. And he eats food. Because so delicious. A poor person, when last did he get food like that? So he eats nice and full. Now his stomach is full. When he comes home, the wife, what she got again? She got rooibos and brown bread. That is all they have on the table. Now he's full. He doesn't look forward to that food at all. So now he starts finding fault with her. Because he's full. Finding fault with the house, with the children, with her. This is all the fights. But if that man didn't eat, and a hungry man, and when he sees food, even that rooibos and brown bread that he gets, how he won't enjoy it because he's hungry. So in the same way, if a person the whole day at work, with the other females there, on the road, with the customers, with other people, you are flirting with them, even innocently, you don't mean anything there, joking with them, talking with them, making jokes, talking, your desire for woman, which Allah has put in every man, it has been fulfilled. When you come home now, no matter how nice your wife is, she hasn't got any appeal, because you are full, you're full with food, your desire for woman, your desire for sex, for lust, that also has been fulfilled. You are all the time, you are with other women. But if the whole day you stayed with taqwa, you didn't talk to any other woman, your desire is there. Now when you come home, your wife, how doesn't she appeal to you? She is the most beautiful woman, everything. And then see what the jannat's life of enjoyment of husband and wife. Wallah, if a person guards his gazes, his thoughts, Allah gives it to him in this dunya. And he gets that manner, this is what Islam is, this is what the tasawwuf is, this is what to bring this reality, and you'll get the life of Jannat here already, there from emotionally, mentally, there you'll get it physically in Jannat. But already Allah Ta'ala will give it to you here. One time we were in the Kruger Park, we came to a place where the lions had done a kill. We didn't see all that, but the giraffe that they had killed, it was lying the carcass. Now it was finished maybe the third day, maybe even the fourth day. And the vultures and the other birds which eat meat, they were busy feeding on it. So we stopped to see, but when we opened the windows, the smell that was coming of that carcass of 3-4 days, it was such a terrible stench, we couldn't take it. Immediately we had to roll up the windows, put some ether, and we had to drive away immediately from there. But for those birds, those vultures, that smell was biryani to them. So just like that, this filthy, dirty woman, for a munafiq, for a person of weak iman, that is enjoyment for them. But for a person of iman, he will realize that this is worse than the smell of the carcass also. And he won't be able to take, and not only this guna, any guna, those are the abrar, الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْذُونَ الضَّرَّ وَلَا يَرْضَوْنَ الشَّرَّ. The abrar, the exceptionally pious people. Not that they commit sin, they can't see somebody else committing sin. Our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum narrates, most probably it was Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi. He went out for namaz. On the way he saw somebody committing a sin. He became so ill that he had to come back home immediately. And when he went to toilet to urine, blood was coming out. So much it had an effect on him. He couldn't, you can't see somebody else sinning. When your iman reaches that you committing sin is out of the question, you can't see somebody else committing a sin. So, and also one important thing, I've asked quite a few of my friends here, mashallah, many ulama also, if they find it anywhere, that in this hadith comes, la'anallahu an-nazir wal-manzoor ilayhi, muzakkar sigha. Whereas, commonly in our sense, it's a woman who presents. So it should, according to logic and our mind, wal manzoor ilayha, that the woman who presents herself to be looked at. And one answer that today in the 15th century which comes to mind, that on TV when man ulama appear and women look at them, so manzoor ilay, and our deen is for all forever till the day of Qiyamah, that women do present themselves to be looked at, they dress in that way, they put perfume, they walk in that way, that, and also never be fooled that that woman wants to have something to do with you. If you get the wrong idea, she'll go and report you to the police. All she wants is to be admired. That she is, and if you tell her, oh, how you dress and how beauty, that's all she wants. She don't want anything more. Your men get fooled with all this. That they think, oh, this woman is a free woman and she's a very cheap woman and you want to get involved. They'll go and report you to the police and she'll swear you. And such swears she'll give you. All that woman wants is to be admired. That I look so beautiful and people acknowledged it. And when people's heads turn around to look at her again, her day is made. That today I dress like this and I'm like this. And I could see every man was turning his head around and looking at me. That's all they want. They, nothing more than that generally. There are those other filthy, more worse women. But this is all what generally women want. They just want to be admired. A woman, for example, she cooks a very good meal. And she won't eat also. But what fills the stomach? MashaAllah, it was prepared so well. That makes her happy. So that is more than the nature of a woman. That little praise means a lot to her. So anyway, wal manzoor ilay. Why is it muzakkar siha? And today we can understand that ulama going on TV and then they also have to do the makeup for it also. Before you come on the screen, before the cameras are on you, makeup has to be done. And how many women, and what words women have said already about this year. It's not advisable to quote all this, but this is the fitna that has come. There's so great fitna. So this year, about controlling our gazes, and then this is for women also. This is one command. If there is another, please inform me, but as far as my limited knowledge is, this is the only command where Allah gave woman a separate. There Allah referred to in al-Muslimina wal-Muslimat, but there is no command given there. There Allah is praising the qualities of man separately, woman separately. But giving a command, this is one command where Allah addressed the woman separately. So for women also it is very important that they also must not look at other men. That will, inshallah, tomorrow, if Allah wishes, we'll discuss. But with our gazes, there is another guna also. One is this guna of lust and looking at women, etc., which is common, which we call bidnazri. But another very big guna, and in fact, a bigger guna of the eyes, to look down upon somebody. If you look down upon somebody, you see somebody, this person is like this. This person is like that. And with regard to that, there is quite a bit of detail which we'll do separately, one complete bayan, inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq. But this is that if you see anyone and you got a doubt on that person, now this person is like this. Maulana Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali says, this bad thought that this person here, I think he stole my cell phone. You got no proof for it. Or this person here, he spoke this about me. And you got no proof. Qiyamah day, you'll have to present proof for your thoughts. For your bad thoughts, what you thought, and bad thoughts come from bad eyes. That you look at somebody, this person is like this, he did this. Now you get bad thoughts about him. And you'll have to prove that, substantiate and prove that bad thoughts of yours. And if you can't, you will get azab. That why did you think bad for about it? And if you think good about a person, and the person is not good, but you thought good about him, without proof, you're going to get sawab for thinking good of that person. So this is now, we look down. And for example, looking down, I'm sitting higher than you. If I look down on you, it doesn't mean the physical looking down, that you disregard a person. And remember, see, for example, Surah Tabbat Yada is on top of Qul Huwallahu Ahad. That doesn't mean it's superior than Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Surah Ikhlas, what great fazilat Surah Ikhlas has got. Though it is on top, so maybe even if I'm sitting on top, it doesn't mean I'm better than anyone. That only Allah knows who is better than who. And also a bubble, bulbula, on the water. It's on top of the water. But the bulbula, the bubble is empty. It's nothing. There is nothing in that bubble. So a person can be high, but he's nothing. And how many people, the Quran Sharif says on the day of Qiyamah, one of the names of the day of Qiyamah is Khafidah, Rafi'ah. In Surah Waqi'ah what we read, that many people who are high in this world, but on the day of Qiyamah, they will be thrown right down. The day of Qiyamah will drop them. No matter what their position, what cars they were driving, what houses they were living in, but they didn't have inside qualities, they will be thrown right down. And the Qiyamah's day is a rafi'ah. People who are living in tent shanties, people who did not have proper food to eat, proper clothes, the clothes were torn, everything. But the day of Qiyamah they will be put up very, very high. So we got no right to look down upon somebody. A poet says so beautifully, ke naze taqwa se. When you have taqwa, taqwa is an objective, how great it is. But if now you did not make you made your own tarbiyat, and you didn't have a share, and you got taqwa also. But now that with the taqwa, pride also came along. If you have a sheikh, the sheikh will make sure that taqwa, that pride doesn't come along with it. That your food, there mustn't be germs with your food also. Otherwise that food, the best food, the germs also. That food is not going to help you, it's going to destroy you. So, naaz-e taqwa se phir achhi hai niyaz-e randi. Randi, a woman who sells herself. For whatever reason, out of desperation or whatever, but she's crying to Allah. Ya Allah, I'm the worst in the world. There is nobody like me. I'm the worst woman in the world. The worst person. What guna I'm committing. And she's crying. This person who got taqwa, the pride came in there. She's better than that person. What the guna of hers, but she's got niyaz, crying to Allah, asking for forgiveness. Ya Allah, save me from this, help me from this guna which I'm in. And that person got taqwa, but pride came in him. So when we look down upon somebody, we can have all the qualities of taqwa, but if we are looking down on anyone, that person haven't got proper clothes to wear, or that person is in, even in deeny things we think we are better than him, only Allah knows who is where. Jahi taqwa, jahi zuhad se, phir achhi hai meri rasuruswai. Zuhad is another very great quality. Zuhad, abstinence. That you only the absolute necessaries of dunya. No luxuries, no comforts also. You have stay away, only the absolute necessary. What is zahid is a great quality. And another person who committed a guna, bad guna, and he got exposed. And he's disgraced amongst the people. Now he's crying, Ya Allah, what did I do? He can't come out of his house. He can't face anyone also. But he's crying to Allah Ta'ala. And this person got pride in his zuhud. That person is better than this person who committed that worst guna. And everyone is looking down upon him. He's, and also a person who made a guna, we don't know he made tawbah. And by tawbah, أَتَّعِبُ مِنَ الذَّمْ كَمَ اللَّهَ ذَنْبَ اللَّهِ. His guna is wiped out in such a way that as though he committed no guna. And you still looking down upon him, you getting guna. He committed guna, he came out of his guna, he purified himself. And you looking down, you getting involved in guna. So there is another very big guna of the eyes also, to look down upon anyone. And this needs us. And this guna is worse than the guna of looking at women. That's also how bad, we have tried to explain how bad that guna is. But this guna is even worse than that. That pride comes into a person. So these are the things that we have to try and cleanse ourselves from. And if we take this out from us, and if the person who brought humbleness, humility in him, Allah will put him very high. And who Allah puts high, Allah will keep him high. Nobody, the world can try and take him, destroy him, lower him from there. Nobody can touch him. Who Allah keeps, jisko Allah rakhe, kaun chakhe. Who can even touch that person who Allah Ta'ala protect? So to bring these qualities into us and then see inshallah what the benefits of Ramzan are and what we have gained from Ramzan. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamd.